Kannst du mal kommen, Andi.
Der Leuchtturm.
Well, good evening again. We are, again, very grateful to be here, very grateful for the hotel, the food. We have been downright spoiled, both by you as well as by your pastor and his wife. Been good to get to know both of them a little bit better. And just, again, spoiled. I mean, we've had a ball. We put our toes in the water. We went to an orchard. They had apples inside but not outside, which is good because it was cold out there. The kids got to play in the great big jungle gym and just wear themselves out real nice. I slept with three pillows last night. We're having a ball. Just a good old time, and we want to thank you for it. If you will, please take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 22. Last night we looked at the command. We are commanded. The commission says we are to go. Go and do what? To preach the gospel. Preach it to who? To everyone. No distinctions, no exceptions. And no matter what we feel of our ability, nor our skill, we are to do it anyway. What I'd like to look at tonight is motivation. Now, I have been trying to get good at exercising for some time. And in doing so, I go to people who know what they're doing. And I say, well, how do you stay motivated? How do you stay motivated? And all of these tough, muscly people look back at me and they say, you don't need motivation, you need discipline. And you know what? That's true. Maybe I don't need motivation. Maybe that is what we need. We need discipline. But I'll be honest with you. As Christians, we don't have to make that choice. We sit in a sea of motivation to give the gospel. We have it. We are motivated by the blessings in which God has bestowed upon our lives. We are motivated by the gratefulness we have for ourselves being saved. We are motivated by the brothers and sisters around us. We're motivated by the pastors and the preachers and the people that we look up to. We sit in a sea of motivation. And I say this, if I've got it, why not use it? Amen. Why not use it? Amen. Yes, I need discipline. But my, oh my, God has given me just so much motivation. And I want to use this as a jumping board for our motivation tonight. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36 says this. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now listen, I know that this is referring to the law. So when I sit there and I bring up a New Testament command and I associate it with this, I know it's a bit of a stretch, but I think it works. In everything that God has asked us to do or not to do, it boils down to two very simple things. Love God more than anything else and with everything you got. And love others the way you love yourself. I think it works for everything. I know it works for everything, not because I say so, but because the Lord says so. It boils down to this. Love God with everything you got. And love people the way you love yourself. The greatest motivation that we need, that we should have, is loving God and loving the people in the world around us. The first one is easy. The second one a bit harder. But both are necessary. As I preached last night, I don't know about you, but I was preaching about me. I do not give the gospel as often as I think I should. I don't give the gospel as often as I know I should. And judging by some of the faces I saw last night, some of y'all agree with me. I know I'm not doing what I want to do, right? And then the question is, why is there a gap When I want to do it, why is there this gap between how often I do it and how often I should do it? When I want to do it, is it our faith? Well, the answer is no, because when somebody asked the Lord for more faith, what did he say? You don't need more faith. You need to exercise the faith that you have. We toyed around with my uncle when we were kids. How is it that we put it at dinner just now? I like to grab the cat by the tail every now and then. I like to stir things up. And as a kid, I was absolutely just as phenomenal at irritating people. We had an uncle, and he built a fire. And it was a small fire, and it wasn't really a problem. We were just kids, and we had more mouth than brains. And we were just kind of rattling his cage a little bit. Uncle, why is your fire so small? Do you normally build small fires like that? Are you scared of big fires? And he did what any redneck would do. And he went and he got gasoline. And he dumped it on there. And you'd think we'd have shut up. But we didn't, because we were young kids, as precocious as we were. Again, again, again! You, just like me, might sit there and say, I have a small desire, but it's not big enough to override what I'm doing. You don't need more faith. You just need to put some gasoline there. You need to fire it up. You already have everything you need to override your fleshly desire to keep your mouth shut. Because that's in the flesh, isn't it? The flesh is weird that way. The flesh will make you talk when you should shut up. And it'll make you shut up when you should talk. You already have everything you need. Isn't it the Lord who promised that there's no temptation that would take us that he can't help us overcome? Didn't he provide the perfect example? Don't we have our own testimony for how he saved us? We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us if we're saved. We have everything we need. So then if we are struggling, like I know we struggle, instead of shaming ourselves and beating ourselves up for it, you know what we need to do? We need to hit the gas. Listen, if you're not happy with where you are, move. Right? If I know this is not where I'm supposed to be, think of Elijah. What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah was in a bad place, wasn't he? What did the Lord tell him to do? Hey, sit here until you feel better. No, have some food. That's a change, wasn't it? You were hungry. You're beat up, you're running, you're scared. Have some food, have a rest. And then what? Come see me up here. Come see me up here. If you're not happy with your level of service, if you're not happy with the way your walk is going, you have everything you need to get up from that spot and walk closer with the Lord. Comes down to this command right here. Love God. Listen to how he says that one more time. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. When the love of the world creeps in, we're going to have a hard time following God. When we fear the world more than we love God, we're going to have a hard time. In order for us to always be in mind of the love of our Father upon us and our love back to him, we need to remember where we came from. John chapter 4, if you will. John chapter 4, verse 17. I referenced this woman yesterday. And of course, we know what this is. The Lord comes to the well. The woman comes and she's there and he asks her of water. And she goes to give him water. Hey, I can give you living water. Verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know that what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. There was a moment in your life, if you're here and you're saved today, there was a moment in your life where you were lost, decrepit, and far away from God. Now, many of us, we've got different testimonies. Some people, they believe that because of where God saved them, they're a lesser sort of person, that God had to reach all the way down for them and not so high for other people. Oh no, we're all cut from the same muck and mire. And that's exactly, but for some of us, that's where we were. Some of us, not so complicated backstories, but all the same, down into our sin and despicable condition, the Lord reached down and saved our souls. Mm-hmm. Don't you love him for that?
Amen.
We think about Brother Cummins' funeral. You think about doing funerals. I've done far more funerals than I like to have ever done. And it's absolutely different doing a funeral for a lost person versus a saved man of God like Brother Cummins. That's a different funeral. When you know where he is. Oh, the pain's still there for the family, for the friends, and those that held him together. The pain's still there, but it's a different pain. It's an I'll miss you till I see you again pain. And I much prefer that to the other one. Jesus, in his perfect sacrifice, took away the biggest problem you ever had, in that you were a lost, depraved sinner headed to hell. And I love him for it. There's a lot of wonderful things a person can do for you. There's a lot of wonderful things we can do for each other. But there's no one that can lay out a gift that size. No one could do for you what the Lord has done for you. Do you wake up in the morning and is that the first thing you think of? Do you rush to open the Bible? Do you rush to say, good morning, Lord? I've got four little voices in the morning. Some of them are getting too old to do it, but I still get it from time to time. Morning, Dad! Makes me all tingly all over. Morning, Dad! You wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Father, thank you for another one. I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know what I'm going to have to scrub peanut butter and jelly out of. I don't know what hour and a half car line I'm going to have to wait in. But Lord, you gave me today to do it. You gave me sticky little fingers to clean, and you gave me nose prints on the window for me to wipe down. You gave me a job to go get tired in. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. The more we wake up, the more we go through our day and thank God for our salvation and the subsequent blessings, the closer we will walk with him and the more that love for him will shine. And it's hard to forget about the Lord when you're so quick to go to him in thanks. We get so bummed. What kind of day are you having? Oh, I'm having a bad day. Having a bad day. What happened? I stubbed my toes, spilled my coffee, fell down the stairs, got to work 30 minutes late just to realize it's Saturday and I didn't even have to be here. I've learned I don't have bad days. I don't. I've got hurdle days. I got a lot of hurdles to go through. But you know what? As long as I can still get over a hurdle, I'm feeling pretty good. Even in the things I can't understand, there's things that go on in my life and yours where we sit there scratching our head going, well, how are we getting over this one, Lord? And then you get up to it and you're like, oh, you've already thought about this. And whatever it is that he's provided, you get right on over with it. Do you stop and thank him? Think of the position of this woman. I don't care what society you're in. Having five husbands and sleeping with a guy who ain't is not a good look. All right, you are gossip fuel in any culture. And you got to imagine, not only was this woman surprised that a Jew would talk to her, but given her reputation, she was probably surprised anybody would talk to her. Of course, nowadays, you're considered mean or terrible if you think that her lifestyle's wrong. But you ask her, she probably wasn't having a good time.
Right.
It's hard to have your heart broken five times, I'm just saying. I brought this up to our church. We had a lady call. She had three fathers of her children not paying child support. And I sat there, and many people go, oh, and that's some people would laugh at that. Imagine that was your problem to solve. Now, if you can solve that problem, I want you to write that down and slip that in my hand. I had nothing for the lady. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get some random guy to pay you money he owes you. I don't know how to do that. I was a landlord for years. I couldn't get people to pay. Let alone somebody who needs to supposed to take care of their family and they don't. That's a hard problem. To her, she was most likely an outcast. She was somebody who often heard more whispers than gentle conversation. She was used to fake politeness more than she got real politeness. I'm just guessing. Five husbands and the guy you're with ain't probably not the head of the PTA from where she's from. But Jesus loves the black sheep, don't he?
Amen.
He loves the outcast. He will go over to a table full of sinners and he'll sit right down with them.
Amen.
Now, not as modern day Christianity says, where come as you are, stay as you are. No, it's come as you are and you're going to leave different.
Amen.
And I love that. That when the Lord called to me, when the Lord saved me, I didn't have to stay the same. I could change.
Yes.
And even today, I can continue to change, continue to grow. That at any given time, he hasn't lost his patience with me. He hasn't given up on me, despite failure after failure. Understand this, that I believe this was not a chance encounter with the Lord. He didn't stumble into her and go, how can I flip this conversation over a pitcher of water into the gospel? I think he knew exactly who he was meeting that day. Just the same as he knew who you were. How does the Lord know me? He made you. That blow your mind. If you knew you were going to make something and it was going to break your heart and it wasn't going to work the way you wanted it to, would you do it? If I said, hey, you're going to sit down, you're going to restore an old car and it will break down on you every day. You will have a hard time getting it started. It'll start going places, and then it'll stop midway. Sometimes the gas pedal will respond to what you're trying to do, and sometimes it won't. And what's it going to cost you? You're going to have your back whipped off, and you have to have a crown of thorns, and tied up to some rugged lumber, and just have to bounce yourself up and down on that while you breathe, and that's all it's going to take you to restore this car. Not a one of us would raise our hand and say, I will bleed for a vehicle like that. But not only did he bleed for you, but he made you anyway. Knowing what you'd be. I'm appreciative of that kind of love. Because that's not the kind of love I would have. If I knew a project wasn't going to work out when I started it, you know what I'd probably do? I'd let laziness take over. And I'd go buy it instead. I'd throw away what I was working on. I get so angry when I hear people today talk of the Lord. Well, if God's so good, why would he allow this? If God's so good, why would he allow that? Be honest with you. If God weren't so good, he wouldn't allow any of it. He'd dump the whole thing into hell and just be done with it. But he is good. He's merciful, compassionate, full of grace. Willing to spill his own blood just for us to have redemption. And what was her response? He tells her, I'm him. Verse 27, the disciples show up. Why talkest thou with her? Why are you talking to her? I've often wondered that about God and me. Lord, why you bother with me? Of all the wonderful teachers, of all the wonderful preachers, of all the wonderful men and women, what are you doing with me? Don't I take more than I could ever possibly give to you? Don't I disappoint you more than I please you? But that's who he is. That's the love he's shown towards us. Even to the point where maybe even some people you know would wonder, what's God doing with them? But that's who he is. He loves his own. He cares for us, sacrifices for us, gives us blessing upon blessing, takes care of us, and he even gives us more than what we deserve. We ought to love the Lord with everything we have. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot. She left the water pot. Now here's the thing, you may leave some stuff behind here and there, but she was so excited about Jesus Christ, she left behind the water pot. You need your water pot. That'd be like, I was so excited, I left my sink behind. Left it right there to do what? Hey, come look at this guy. Come see. And she was so excited. And you know what? She didn't begrudge the fact that he knew everything. If I walked up to somebody and I said, hey, how are you? And they said, really, really good. Not as good as you. And they could tell me exactly how much I weigh, what I had for breakfast, and all the things I asked God to forgive me for the night before. That would startle me. I'd be going home going, checking, sweeping the car for bugs. Just checking to make sure whatever it is they're recording me with, I can get rid of. That would bother me. But when the Lord did it to you, wasn't it exciting? There's that sudden fear when you realize your responsibility for your sin. Right. And then there's the sweet relief when you know that it's been paid for.
Amen.
It's that sweet relief that led her to leave that water pot behind. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Sometimes you're going to go and you're going to give the gospel to somebody and they're going to look at you like you think you're better than they are. And that's the trick. I'm here because I'm not. I'm here because I know what I am, and it's not somebody who deserves what God has given to me. And I know you don't deserve what God has to give, and I'm here to show you where to get it. There's that old adage I heard preachers preach about since I was a kid. If you had the cure for the most heinous diseases on earth, would you keep it a secret? If it grew in your backyard and you knew you could give it away for free, would you not tell everybody about it? I think I would. I think that'd be fun for me. What's that? You've got double pneumonia? Well, here's some stuff I've got in my backyard. Go ahead and crunch it up. See, I told you you'd feel better. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. I would be in the hospitals all the time giving that cure away. I had a buddy one time at work. His name was John Mark. He was a Pentecostal fella. He believed that he could heal people. Now, I want to tell you where we worked. We worked as maintenance men for McDonald's. Means we pulled apart the fryers, we pulled apart the grill, we did things around the building to make things work and grow. We changed out the oil. And I asked him, I said, well, John, if you can heal people everywhere you go, why are you here and not at the hospital? He didn't like that answer. Of course, he was the same guy who told me that he saw a woman at the Walmart in a scooter and he put his hands on her and he prayed. And then a few minutes later, he saw her down an aisle, stand up out of the scooter, go over and grab some Oreos off the top shelf. And he goes, see, I healed her. Had a hard time telling about people's scooters. But if we had the cure, would we not exercise it? Now listen, I can't make people come to the Lord. But if I know where the cure is, why wouldn't I tell them? Why wouldn't that be the most exciting thing I have to share? Listen, I know what your problem is because it's my problem. Same place you were in, I was in. And I love that. We've got a church with people with a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different testimonies. And I talked to a young man one time, and this is not me bragging on anybody, but some of them. You get people come in, they've got tattoos all over their face, they smell like they've been out on Saturday night, and they'll come into the church, and the members will kind of go over and give them a hug. One person who was doing that, they experienced that greeting, that excitement, welcome to the church. I said, wow, your church, you know, for a bunch of old Christian people, they're awfully friendly. Normally, those kind of people get bugged by people like me. And I kind of laughed. I said, well, they know exactly what kind of person you are because some of them are those people. Lord, save them from that. They know exactly where you stand. See, many people in this world, they believe that good Christian people spring out of the ground. We're born that way. And that's the joke. We're born just like everybody else, and that's why we sing. That's why we praise. That's why we tell other people about them. Because we know where they are. We know it's not making them happy. And we know what's to come. We know that hell is on the horizon. We know that it's our responsibility to give them that gospel. And like I said yesterday, we ought to be so giddy and so caught up in the love of God that it ought to kill us just to stay quiet. So if you're like me and sometimes motivation escapes you, remember God's love. I woke up this morning, got up and out, just kind of walking around. Needed to take a trip to the store real quick and turned on some music. Spent some time singing worship to God. I got to do that by myself because I don't want to hurt other people's ears. But it's good for your spirit to worship the Lord. Many of you say, I'm not a good singer, I don't want to sing. You know, sometimes I'll do. I'll crack open the book of Psalms. And I'll say, Lord, I know that you gave this to another man to say to you. But this is exactly how I feel today. This is exactly what you make me think today. For all the love you've given me, all the things you've done. Let's just sit there and tell God, Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that. And oh, Father, I appreciate you being there. When we take that time to get close to the Lord like that, that is rocket fuel on the fire. That's what it is. That we would get back to a heart of worship. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Every other God out there purported by man, all they want to do is give man what they already want. I mean, think about it. You think of Baal and those prophets. What was the heart of their worship? Drunkenness and debauchery, was it not? Why? Because when man comes up with a god, that's what he wants. Drunkenness and debauchery. There's no God like our God. He'll not only tell us that what we desire is wrong, but will provide the cure. That's the God we serve. And when it comes down to that, how is it that he tells us to love him? With all our heart. And your heart is love, and your heart is courage, and your heart is all the things that make you tick. It's your spirit. It's who you are. Is that shirt the Lighthouse? Is that for this church? I like shirts like that. I've got shirts like that. Wear the name of my church right here. I'll wear shirts that have Christian messages on it. Want to know why? I love the Lord. And sometimes I forget to bring it up. And things like that help people to bring it up. If I forget, maybe somebody will say something about it. And it'll remind me. I'll look down. Oh, yeah, hey. But what if you mess up? See, that's another cute thing that it does. It stops you from messing up because you've got the Lord right there, man. They know where to find you. Keeps you sober, keeps you honest. Not as well as walking daily with the Lord and worshiping him on a regular basis and thanking him multiple times a day, but it helps. Go out there, this is who I am. This is where my heart comes from. This is where my desire comes from. There are far too many bad examples of Christianity out there. where people claim that they love God and they behave like the devil. What we need to be is the kind of witnesses that live it through and through, with all of our hearts, with what I love, with the level of courage I show. Let me love the Lord. Well, if I do this, people won't like me. Well, there's a really good chance people ain't going to like you anyway. Listen, if we're holding out for grand popularity, don't leave your house. It's going to be miserable. This is not a nice place to live. It's not. The world is not a nice place to live. There's always somebody willing to make fun of you just because they're bored. Let's dump all that. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart. He comes first. He's prominent. Everything about him brings me joy. With all her heart, she left everything. What was she supposed to be doing? Getting water? Don't you need that? And that's what you wake up in the morning, you need some water for the house, some to boil, some to wash, some to drink. You need water. She left it behind. When we can get sin out of our lives and put the focus on God where it belongs, our love for him, our closeness with him will explode. And therein we will find great motivation. He says that those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not just the desire, but in the reality. That I will listen to what he says. That every part of my worship will be just as much as obedience. With all my heart, with all my soul, everything I am goes to him. Everything I have comes from him. I am the Lord's and he is mine. And I'm willing to tell you about it. We must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth every day. We must serve him in spirit and truth every day. And he says, with all thy mind. That's the hard one, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I get distracted easily. This woman left her water pot, and that's amazing. If I left my water pot, it'd be a Tuesday. I get distracted. I need to remember. How many times I go through the day, and I can't even tell you how many people I met, but I definitely know I didn't give the gospel to any one of them. The Lord needs to be ever on your mind. Don't leave them in your mind. Well, sometimes I got to focus on work. You know what's going to help you get through work? The Lord. Go to him for help. Well, I got to go do this thing. I got this work order. I've got this meeting. I've got this to do. I've got this report I've got to do. Man, when I would fill out reports, I would pray. And not just because I'm bad at it. That's true, but pray. I got a car trip. Pray. Why? Because we're a good Christian family? No, because I need him, and I need my attention on him, so I better talk to him first. I need his help. I'm going to ask for it. I need to keep my mind close to him. Another way we keep our mind close to the Lord is what? Well, how we entertain ourselves. What we have around us to remind us. You're sitting there playing the wrong kind of music, entertaining yourself in worldly ways, and you are just constantly consuming earthly things. Don't be surprised if the Lord is far from your mind, because you're satiating the flesh. What we need to do is feed the Spirit. What's on my mind must be the Lord. And I've got to do everything I can to continue feeding my mind spiritual things so that I may continue to think on Christ. I brought this up at the Flat Rock Conference. At Flat Rock, we used to do this thing called Sermon in the Sack, where I had to find an object and teach a lesson to the kids on this object. And Brother Kavanaugh does it now, and he says, I find myself wandering around my house trying to find an object to do a lesson on. And I said, just don't fall down the rabbit hole of buying stuff. You know what it did? It twisted my mind a little bit in a good way. Now I keep running into things and I go, you know what that kind of reminds me of? I'm kind of glad for that practice. I hope it ruins your brain too. I'll just come across something. We're raising chickens. I look at the baby chicks and said, wow, look at how much they need. Look at that light. I think that was the illustration I used. We got this light there. It lights up the area and it also warms them. We're called to be the light of the world. My brain just does that all the time. Why? Because I'm a good person? Why? Because I'm a good Christian? No, because my pastor messed me up. But it's invaluable to keep your mind constantly on the Lord. Because what does it do otherwise? Those same little things become irritations, become bothersome. You're sitting there, you're working on your back door, the back door won't close right, and you're fighting with it, you're fussing at it, and you're close to cussing at it. But what if instead you've trained your brain to do something else? And all of a sudden you're thinking, where's the door? I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And all of a sudden, you've gone from having a small Bible study in your head, now you're worshiping the Lord. One door and only one. If we could stay in that frame of mind, and I say we, I do mean we. If I could stay in that mind, how much closer to actual obedience would we be? If I could stay in that mind. If I could keep my thoughts on the love that God has for me and the love that I have for Him and all the things that He's done, oh, how much fuel I'd have for service. He says, love the Lord. Number two, he says, love thy neighbor. You love yourself. Now, wait a minute. I don't love me very much. Isn't that the biggest lie we tell ourselves? I don't like me at all. Did you feed yourself this morning? Yeah. Did you feed anybody else? Now, some of you moms don't answer. Okay. Did you feed anybody else?
No.
Whose face did you wash this morning? Who did you pick out special clothes for? Twice today, some of you. Now, some of you, you dress fancy. You got ties on. Who'd you pick that tie out for? If your wife didn't do it, who did it? That nice sweater that you're wearing, those shoes that you've got on, who'd you put those on? You put them on you. Why? Because you don't like hard things on your feet. Right? Who do you go? I go to work to feed my family. Do you maybe stop on the way home and get yourself a little snacky snack? Do you get your wife a little snack? No, you don't. And if you do, don't tell my wife. We love ourselves. Let's just call it what it is. You may not like how you look. You might not like how you do things. But in the end, you still keep dragging yourself out of bed. Why? Because you like yourself. Bible says a man loves the look of himself. And that's true. You think about some of you ladies. Some of you ladies, you guys spend way too much time in front of the mirror. Wonder why? Because there's just some things you don't like. You look in the mirror and you go, huh, man, I don't like that. Oh, look at my hair. Look at how it's doing this. I need to get some of that. And you'll dig into the counters, tops, and into the drawers. You go, I need to get more of this so I can look like this and that. Man, you know what we mostly do? We look in the mirror and we go, not bad. Don't we? Oh, we're a little vain. I told my barber a couple times ago, I said, listen, I go, I'm going to have to get a refund. He goes, why? I go, every time I come to see you, my hair gets grayer. I go, you got to change your scissors or something, man. Now, we like ourselves. And let me ask you this. In your lost estate, if you were to meet yourself today in your lost estate, what would be the first thing you gave yourself? I wouldn't be talking about Bitcoin. I wouldn't be talking about the stocks or the bonds or the presidential future. I wouldn't talk sports. If I had to pick one thing I wanted to give to myself when I was lost, it'd be the gospel. Right.
Now that messes with theology, so don't think about it too far. It's just an illustration. If you had to ask one thing for yourself, you'd say, I wish somebody would give me the gospel. We consider the rich man and Lazarus. We'll look at him later on in the week. We consider the rich man, what did he want? Just a drop of water. That's scary, isn't it? That in your heart, all you want is a drop of water. Dipped off of somebody's finger. Not my favorite way to take water. I don't want to be in that desperate state. So I'm glad for the people who came along and gave me the gospel. We were actually invited to go to the church before we started coming to the church. After a while of attending Flat Rock, we actually found one of their door-to-door papers they were passing out in our junk drawer. And I said, hey, that's the church I go to now! It was funny. We'd want to make sure that we got the gospel. And if I am to love my neighbor the way I love myself, I'd want them to know it too. It is increasingly more hard to love the world around you. And it takes a certain level of love and compassion only the Father has ever shown. You don't see that kind of love, that agape giving love that God can give on that level here on earth. Oh, we love our kids, we love our moms and our dads, we love our family and our fellow church members. But I don't know anybody who's as good at loving black sheep as God is. And that's where we get that heart. I consider the disappointment we have been to God. We had perfection. We had everything there in the garden. Everything. And all it took was a little whisper of God's lying to you, and he knows you'll be special if you do this, so he's lying to you. And we said, ooh, I want to be like a God. Let me have that. That's spitting in God's face, by the way. Now, did we leave it there? Did we learn our lesson? No. What do we see next? We see offering the wrong kind of offerings. We see murder. We see people taking things upon themselves that should not have been brought upon themselves. We see civilizations forming. And what do? Once we have tyrants and grand civilizations, what do we start doing? We start making our own gods out of what? Dirt. Shiny dirt, gray dirt, black dirt, dirt. And we raise them up instead of our God. That's not nice. That's not kind. That's mean. We've been mean to God since we fell in the garden. And society has been louder and louder and louder about our meanness to God. I've got a sign in my office. It refers to when the Lord's on the cross. It says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the sign just underneath that verse says, love them anyway. They hate God. So did you. Love them anyway. Oh, you don't understand. They're adulterers. They're murderers. They're pro-abortion. They're pro-this and that. They can't tell you what a woman is. Look at what they're doing to children. Look at what they want to do to children. Look how despicable they were. And as Paul says, and as such were some of you. Paul says later, you would save all the saved sinners of whom I am chief. Now he's not being humble. He persecuted the church. If he kept them, had Stephen's clothes. If he kept them. He was a bad man. The Lord saved him. Nineveh was filled with disgusting people who did terrible things I won't even mention in a room full of kids. He sent them a prophet.
and their hearts changed. If God can love you, and God can love terrible people all over the world, all down through history, then we must love them too. Which is hard. Because I want to get angry. I want to mock and jeer. I want to sin that way. I don't have the right to. Because one day, when the Lord, in his good time, saved my soul, I was no different than any of them. I was no different. Brother, you were a boy. Doesn't matter. All the same potential inside of me. All the same heart of rebellion. There was nothing I was beyond doing. Do you see some of the things that we see people arrested for? They're getting arrested for things younger and younger. I heard a story last week of an 11-year-old doing something that an adult would do and getting arrested right in front of her parents. I sat there and I had to double-check what age that was. 11? I have an 11-year-old. I could never in a million years dream of my children doing what this little girl did. It's within that heart.
Right?
It is within that heart. Even saved, we can't say, "Oh, I'd never do that."
Right.
We gotta keep our hands on the wheel and our eyes open, man. We'll mess up just so quickly. We ought to have love for other people and compassion. Now, we gotta draw the line at being an accomplice. We gotta draw a line at being passive about things. Man, you ask me whether or not we should have abortion in this country, I will tell you, and I don't care who it bothers. You ask me how many genders there are, I will tell you. You ask me how God has defined marriage, I will tell you. But that doesn't mean I get to hate people. I get into these debates, and you've probably gotten into them too. Well, you disagree with me, so obviously you hate me. I love those debates. Somebody told me, "Well, no, you don't like what I'm doing, so you don't like me." No, I love you. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, people who don't agree with me, they can't possibly love me.
Yeah, I do.
Think about it. Think about people you disagree with. You love them dearly. They can't stand you. What they want you to do is get angry, aggressive, and confrontational. What God wants you to do is love them and point them to Him.
Well, you know, you don't agree that I'm this 83rd version of a gender. I don't love that you think that about yourself, but I love you all day. Well, I wish you wouldn't. We don't got a choice. Love you anyway. Well, you don't like me. No, but I love you. What I want you to do, though, is I want you to consider Christ. Well, I love this question, too. I'm gay, so do you think that means I'm going to hell? And I said, "Oh man, there's a lot of things that send you to hell. That's one of them. But even if you fix that, you're still going to hell. But let me tell you." And it's amazing how many people will sit there and listen to you talk to them like that. You come at them with angry words and hatred and anger, they're going to respond in kind. "Well, how can you love me if you think I'm going to hell?" No, I love you. You're going to hell. That bothers me. Here's the way out. Here's who has paid the cost for sins of many. And I am praying for you too. In this world, there's wicked propaganda. In this world, there are terrible things being told to young people, old people, every people. They are told that they are hated. They are told that they are being lied to.
And they are being told that if they just took part of this sin, they would have special understanding and special things about them. And what happens? They get surgeries, they get hair dye, they change their Facebook status, they've changed their little biography on their social media to talk about how special and wonderful they are. And let me tell you about the people that I've talked to. They do all these changes and they don't feel different. They don't feel special. They're supposed to be special. I got the hair dye. I got the bio change. I did everything I was supposed to do to feel special, to step into this role. And more often than not, they feel more depressed and anxious than they did before. It's not serving them, this lie, this propaganda. So when you come in with some light and some love and the truth, you'll be surprised at who's willing to listen to you. Isn't that part of what discourages us? Maybe I'm just talking about myself, but that's part of what discourages us. They don't want to hear what I have to say. Try it. There are people I thought when I've talked to them, I thought they would rip my face off. The conversation ended with, I don't see it your way, but I understand what you have to, I understand what you're saying. I don't see it that way, but thank you for explaining it to me. And whether they accepted it or not, I got to the end of that thing. And they were nice. And everything in me is confused. I poked the bear, and the bear said thank you. Which tells me this. I shouldn't assume. I shouldn't let fear dictate what I'm willing to do. But what should the love I have for God, my obedience to Him, and the love I have for my neighbor? Isn't it funny? We'll close on this tonight. Isn't it funny when somebody asks the Lord, who's my neighbor? Isn't it funny the illustration He gave? He picked someone. There was a bit of a racial difference there, if you know much about the Jews and the Samaritans. That was a very racially charged thing. He used that illustration. And He didn't just use that illustration of a Jew being kind to a Samaritan. He let the Samaritan be the good guy in the story. Isn't that wild? Who's my neighbor? The people you don't like. Who's my neighbor? The random person on the street. Who? The person in need. The person struggling, the person who is in pain. And folks, there is nobody struggling or in more dire straits than those who are lost. If you want more motivation, if you want to take advantage of the plethora of motivation God has already given us, you need only to focus on your love for God. And love others. What we need is a burden for lost souls in that. Say, well, I don't ever feel a burden for lost souls. I don't think I have a burden for lost souls. That's common for Christians. I don't think I have a burden for lost souls. I'm going to tell you something. When you're saved, yes or no, Holy Spirit dwells within you, right? Does God have a burden for lost souls? He's given us a lot of evidence to say, yeah. So it's in there. It's in there. You need only to become more sensitive to it. It's in there. I don't feel it. It's not a feeling. It's there. You understand the desire for it. You understand the need to do it. You understand that it's obedience. It's love to the Father. It's love to my common man. It is the only decent thing someone who knows the solution should do. It is the right thing to do. You already have it. Don't wait for it to weigh you down. And if that is our problem, here's my encouragement. If our problem is we just can't connect to that burden, it is most likely sin in the camp.
It's sin that deadens us and dulls us to the moving of the Holy Spirit. The way the Bible says is that we are quenching the Spirit. Not that we are reducing God. Oh no, not by any stretch of the imagination. We're just numb. We're just numb to His influence. Tap in, focus on that love you have for the Father. Tap into that love that you have for your neighbor. And get rid of any sin nor distraction that gets in the way of those things. And we'll find ourselves with a lot less problems and soul winning. Brother?
Let's stand.